But I want to also focus on another critical point to it. That's maybe a side point that you haven't thought about, but is definitely, I think, even in some sense, the destruction of a person and where we are as a society. It's gotten even worse than, you know, I'm not even, that's definitely one side, and I wanted to just show you that as being real. And it's not coming from, you know, scientific, excuse me, science fiction. It's coming from Elon Musk, right? It's coming from real people that are in the field and are worried about the development of the side. But I think we're missing a completely different side that's already caused massive, massive destruction. Already caused massive destruction, and we don't even know it, and we don't even notice it, because we're living it. So let's develop this concept. First of all, first and foremost, we'll deal with the Kabbalistic part. It's said that in the Parsha of Noah, the flood, it says that the fountains that the when the flood came about, the way that the flood came, it says that the fountains of the deep burst forth and the windows of the heavens were opened, which is a completely weird way of describing what's going on, right? The statement in the Torah itself is very difficult to understand. The fountains of the deep burst forth and the windows of the heavens were opened. I mean, it's very poetic, it's very nice, but it's also a very cryptic way of saying what?
It rained.
It rained a lot, right? Basically, that's what it's saying, right? It rained a ton, and the water came from different sources. Came from obviously from the heaven, meaning from the atmosphere, and then also came up from like tsunami from from below, right? Describing that it was really, you know, massive atmospheric changes. So the Zohar on this statement actually says an unbelievable statement. Listen to what this says. It says in this, the Zohar is actually coming on this statement and saying that in the 600th year, because the statement actually said before, I missed out the first part of it. In the Torah, it says in the 600th year of Noah's life, the fountains of the deep burst forth and the windows of the heavens were opened. So the Zohar, the book of Kabbalah, says exactly on that, in the 600th year, because why do we care? If you think about it, first question, we're going to deal with a few questions. 600th year, who cares what year it was? Honestly, who cares? Could have been of what? First of all, we could have calculated ourselves. We know what year the flood happened, and we also know how old Noah was. If we're really so interested in giving a nice age definition of how old Noah was and what year it was, we can figure it out. Why does the Torah have to explicitly come and tell us the 600th year? Right? Extra information. Obviously, it's not. Says the Zohar, the book of Kabbalah, it says in the 600th year of the sixth millennium, the gates of wisdom on high, meaning the heavens, the opening of the heavens, and the fountains, again, the fountains, we were just describing the same idea, the fountains of wisdom will be opened, and the world will be brought to restoration to be ushered into the seventh millennium. You hear that? So one more time. In the 600th year of the sixth millennium, the gates of wisdom on high and the fountains of wisdom will be opened, and the world will be brought to restoration to be ushered to the seventh millennium. So let's first break down the numbers, right? If we know anything in the Jewish calendar, what year are we in right now?
5780.
5780, right? We're in 5780. So we're now what's called in the sixth millennia. Everyone follow me, right? Because you go from 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is the sixth millennia, right? Just like if you said in the non-Jewish calendar, The 19th, if you're in the
20th century,
it's the 20th century, even though it's 1900s, right? It's the 20th century, 21st century, right? It's that's it's always one ahead. It's the same idea, sixth millennium. It's a decimal point, exactly. Just for mathematics, again, nothing to do with the Torah, just to get clear. A lot of people get confused with, what do you mean? It's 5,000, so why is it the sixth millennium? That's for decimals. Yeah, back here, okay. So 600 years into this, into what?
The seventh millennium.
No, so if it's now in the 600 years of the sixth millennium, so what are we talking about? What's the number? Just give me the basics. 5,600. 5,600. 5,600 translated to the non-Jewish calendar is what year? You're not going to know. I'll just tell it to you.
Okay.
Is 1840. 1840. What is the significance of 1840? What happened? Industrial Revolution. What happened in around 1840, in around that whole time frame? All of the world changed.
Mm-hmm.
The exact point, if you go to the point of the world where technology exploded, I'm saying like massive, like you can go from 10, 20 years jumps, and the way people lived 10, 20 years later would have been like thousands of years later.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to, let's say, 1780, mm-hmm. 1780, you're living as if you would have been, there's almost no difference when a person living in 1780 as when he was living in the time of the temple, right?
Yeah.
Almost no difference technologically in their level of life in the if you want to put it on a scale of advancement, was almost identical. They lived in a rural society with no running water, with no lights, with no electricity, with a very primitive behavior of as far as transportation.
Aside from the aristocracy.
Aside for the very, very few, but again, there's still no electricity. There's still, even the aristocracy in the 1700s, also the aristocracy in Herod lived like, again, you could compare the aristocracy of the times were pretty much on the same level of almost 2,000 years, right? Almost 2,000 years living on the same level. You flash back from 1700 to the year, I don't know, zero, common era, right? And the level of living would be like, okay, you know, oh, they look a little different. They're dressing a little puffier. They're dressing like this. Or maybe this guy's got these type of beards. It's all superficial. But as far as like, you'd feel comfortable in that world. You'd be like, okay, yeah, I hear that, you know, these people are speaking that dialect. There's not really a difference in lifestyle at all. You follow me?
Yeah.
Now, fast forward, a person from 1700, right? 1700 to 1850, 60, 70, 80, 90, 1900, 1910, 1920, 40, 50. It's like you're jumping. Now you're jumping what? 10 years. And every 10 years, you're jumping like, it's as if it's like, There's no comparison, because not even thousands of years doesn't compare to 10-year jumps.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like 2-year jumps.
Now it's, yeah, think about it. You come into our generation from when I grew, from when I was a child to, you know, my children, and it's like light years.
Mm-hmm.
Light years. You know, think about it. With the iPhone and this and the pad and the incident and you know, even just now the drivable self cars and the all the different advancements in technology and computers and
landing
cell phones
rockets.
And what?
Self-landing rockets.
Self-landing rockets, smart bombs. I mean, like, think about the cameras talking on the phone,
mm-hmm.
with video cameras or being able to video yourself to anyone. All these technologies, you'd be looking, and if I was a kid and came into the world now, from then, I'd be like, what the heck? We're in science fiction now.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in a science fiction world. And it's a 10-year gap. I'm telling you, within 10 years, 100 years, 200 years is beyond thousands of years. It's more than thousands of years. Because there was never such a massive explosion of wealth, of knowledge, of the world. Exactly what the Zohar says. Exactly what the Zohar says. Which is, I mean, if you just read that, it's like, wow. Like, really? It's got it that to the T? Yes, it got it that to the T. I mean, again, we know it comes from Hashem. It's from Mount Sinai. It's the same source. It shouldn't be such a wow. There's so many wow moments in Jewish life that this is another one. Okay, good. It is. But it is a wow moment. It's like, wow. You know, right? Like that? Like, really? That much? Yes. To the T. So what's the preparation? It says it's to be ushered in the seventh, to bring in the seventh millennium. What's the preparation? What's the preparation? What are we preparing for? So first and foremost, you have to know, what is it telling us? That all the secrets in the world are to be revealed. All the aspects of the world are being revealed. All the in-depth aspects of the person, of human being, is being revealed. All the depths of knowledge of the intricacies of what we are made up of and the gene pools and all the little details of every single aspect of life is starting to be revealed. Starting to be revealed.
In what aspect do you mean?
Meaning
like now in our generation?
I'm saying now.
Since the flood?
Since the flood of information, it's just accelerating.
I feel so like now, it's the opposite.
We'll get to that opposite in a second.
Okay.
Yeah. So as far as the secrets of the creation of the world and how the world is functioning, and all the manner and the nature of the world, it's being revealed. That's what it means by the secrets. The nature of the physicality of the world is being revealed, and that's in essence what it's saying. But what is the question? What is the preparation for the seventh millennium? What is that preparation? So the Gemara tells us that the preparation of the final millennium can either come in when the generation is completely positive or
completely negative.
It's extremes. There's no average. Okay, they're okay. Some good ones, some bad ones. You know, on average, or it's either one way or the other way. It's either the complete one side where it becomes like revealed because all the secrets are revealed and like, wow, you see it. It's there. It's so simple. How you just connect the dots. What do you mean? It's all exploded to show and point you the wonder of the infinite of how everything is pieced together and created. They say as far as the DNA, I'll get to your question in a second. The DNA of a human being, right, is so incredibly complex that we're only now starting to finally understand how complex it is. We thought we understood it when they first came about and they said, okay, we're going to really understand it soon. It's become so complex. They're like, you know, it's incredible. It's beyond a wonder. Do you know the eye, the human eye, how incredibly sophisticated it is? The level of focus. Now we have pixels of whatever it is. The new iPhone 11, right, has the highest pixels, and then the next one's going to be high more. But it doesn't even come close to the comparison of a human eye. Not even close. Not even like a one in one millionth of a definition to how the human eye works and how complex and the focusing mechanism of within your eye and how it focuses and reacts with every blink of the light and what the and how photons are coming into your light and how it reacts and being able to see everything. It's mind-boggling. And all that happened randomly? Really? Come on, like any real thinking human being just say, yeah, the chances of the eye and the DNA and everything that company, and there was a perfectly set within the third, you know, the third placement of the sun from the sun, so that the oxygen was be able to there, and the photosynthesis came about, and there's amoebas, and everything came out, and then the perfect eye and the hand and everything moving around, and we're able to think and think about life and do different things. All that is random? really, like, you want to do the statistical analysis of how random, how impossibly random that is? And yet, we look at the world, and you look at the world, and what happens? The technology is causing further and further movement away from spirituality and understanding of God. Mm. Only causing it to go further and further and further and further away.
In what sense?
Human interaction.
So, yeah, like, so humanity. So I want to, that's when we get to, did you want to ask a question before I go into what she's, I'm going to exactly what you're saying. Next.
So yeah. I read in Parsha that once you know the secrets, that you're not supposed to reveal them. Mm. So is this in a sense, like, how would you elaborate on that?
Right, so that is in the aspect of a person learning Torah and learning secrets that are, you know, that should be kept from the world, in quotes, or kept from the general society. This is just Hashem revealing the secrets and or technology and the world kind of getting that information together, right? So I'll lead from your question to her question and kind of synthesize it. How is this coming about?
Arrogance.
No. Leave out the lead. I'm talking about just simple practicality. How is this coming about? How does it come about?
That's what it is.
How did the Industrial Revolution come? No, I'm asking practical, not characteristic traits or judgment of it. How does it come about?
Wanted to make a
communal change. Knowledge, people standing on the shoulders of giants, they're putting things together.
Exactly. It's coming from communal action.
Yeah,
it's building off of someone else, only us. So it's coming as what? A global, you know what, there's a term today, or it's not even today, it's already been around for a couple, 20, 30 years, I think, if not more, called the global village, right? We're all...
Story of Babel.
Right, so that the global village connecting to one another is where the explosion of technology came about. When the world started to build really off of their ideas. And it wasn't just this person over here thinking about things. And it wasn't like Aristotle and Socrates over there and then Newton and then some other whatever it is, philosophers or deep thinkers or scientists or whatever you want to call in different parts of the world kind of thinking on their own. It was now all of a sudden an ability to communicate together.
But it was also gifted too. I mean, there's phenomena like radio. Marconi and Tesla, they both discovered at the same time, different parts of the world, totally independent.
Right. No, so that's the combination of the two, of hitting this time frame and the ability of all of a sudden the communications within humanity, as far as making a global quote-unquote village, starts to expand. So the combination of the two all of a sudden now creates this massive explosion. Because again, remember, how Hashem runs the world. This is always a principle all across Torah. You'll find that whenever there is a spiritual kind of announcement or saying of how Hashem runs the world or will run the world or of prophecy or whatever it is, it always comes about in a natural order. Mm-hmm. It always comes about in a natural order, even in the most miraculous events, it's also coming through a natural order. Perfect example is splitting the sea. If you read the Torah, you just kind of like nonchalantly breeze over it. But it said actually the night before, what was it?
A strong
easterly wind was coming. All night. It blew all night. What do you need that for? what's the purpose? Why do you really need that? Like, what do we need to know that there was an all strong easterly wind that night? Why? Because Hashem works through nature. Also, so much so that they know, okay, you know, people can say, what can they say? How did that happen? It was a crazy tsunami occurrence that right as the Jews came up, what happened? It split. Because there was a strong easterly wind all night. And of course, at that, it gained the pinnacle and it blew the Red Sea. It blew up the Red Sea, created a wall, and the Jews got there right at that time, and it split for them. And somehow, right at that moment that they got on land, it went and crashed back. But naturally speaking, they got lucky. That's, you know, it happens. It happens, right? No, that's how Hashem runs through the world. It's nature. In a miraculous fashion. So, Richie mentioned the Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel. Again, in the same parasha, in the same idea, and it's encapsulated in that same concept, is what happened with the Tower of Babel. So I'm just going to read to you straight from the Torah in English what happened with the Tower of Babel. I'm sure most of you know what it is, but like just in case whoever doesn't, you get to understand clearly what's going on with this Tower of Babel. So the whole world was one language. Again, this is following post-flood in the same parasha, in the same concept of what was happening with the flood. This is right after the flood.
Code programming.
Right?
Computer code, one language, universal.
Yep. The whole world was of one language and of unified words. It was when they migrated from the east, they found a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. Each man said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and burn them in fire." The bricks served for them as stone and mortar as clay. They said, "Come, let's build a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let's make a name for ourselves, lest we become dispersed across the earth." God descended to see the city and the tower which the sons of man built. God said, "Behold, they are one people with one language. For all of them, this is what they begin to do. Now nothing will remain unattainable to them. They will accomplish everything they have in mind to accomplish. Come, let us descend and confuse their language so they won't understand each other." God dispersed them from over the face of the earth, and they stopped building the city. So we got a couple basic questions, right? Again, really quick, so we know what we're talking about. The whole world is united under one language, right? They go and they start making bricks, and first of all, the people go and settle in the land, in a particular land. They start building bricks and mortars, and said they got together to start doing this. They said, "Hey, well, let's go build a large tower going all the way up to the heavens, all the way up to the heavens. And then we'll make a name for ourselves. We'll be great." So God comes down and says, "Oh man, what are these guys," like literally says, "Oh my God, what are these guys doing?" I guess, "Oh, myself," but that's what, whatever. He said, "Oy vey." You can see God saying, like, "Oh, what's going on over here?" Right? And he says, "Okay, I see that they're speaking all in one language, and now nothing will be unattainable to them. And they will be able to accomplish and have everything that they want to do to accomplish in their mind to be able to happen. You know what's going to have to do? Let's confuse them, get the language, and spread them all across the world and stop this."
Who's saying this?
God.
God's saying,
he's
we
like,
should
oh,
do
shit,
it.
I created robots that are smarter than me or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, right? So we have a couple basic questions. Some from the story.
Why?
Start with the beginning. Why is it important where the people are coming from? East. Mm-hmm. Maybe they came from the west or south, north. Who cares? Like, what does this add to our life that they came from the east? That's one. Why must we know that they settled in a valley? Why do they choose brick and mortar rather than stone and clay? And why does the Torah even care about telling us this? Who cares whether they were sticks and stones or wood? Or who cares what the materials were? Like, how does this affect our understanding of life?
Brick and mortar is something that man makes. It's not something God makes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So what does it mean that God descended to the world? And finally, like, exactly what were the plans for a city and a tower, and what could God see in this as being destructive? Like, what's so bad about what they were doing? They got together, they were all one, it was unity, and they built a beautiful building. Like, really, it's so bad? It was so terrible that they had to mix them up and scatter them all across the world? Like, really? What's the problem with it?
It's the arrogance. We did it.
So...
like physically, like actually, like going up, like on a building is not like real connection with Hashem.
Oh, beautiful. First of all, the valley. By the way, this idea, this concept of the technology came amazing. There was an amazing rabbi by the name of Rav Yaakov Weinberg. And he used to be he's actually the brother of Rav Noach Weinberg, and he ran a yeshiva in Baltimore. Incredibly brilliant person. He died, I think, in the year 2000. And it's scary. I don't remember if I actually heard it on tape or if I saw him. I don't think I was there. But it was like right before I came, and I heard this topic. He was talking about this exact topic. It blew me away. And now I think about it, this is almost 20 years ago, right? And he was spot on. Scary how spot on he was to where we are and understanding of what society is about today. So first and foremost, let's answer some of the questions. I mean, Richie is already onto the path, and so is Shane. As far as the valley. What does it have to be a valley? Who cares? Shouldn't you, if you're making a tower to go up to heaven, where do you want to start? Naturally.
On the mountain.
Find a flat part of the mountain and start building up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, make it mile high. Start in Denver, you know, on the top there, and start building up. Like on, you know, there's a whole city in Denver that's basically in the mountains, right? It's a mile high city. Start there. It's much easier to get to the heavens. Why not? Because you don't want to start the same idea, same concept. Why brick and mortar?
Like we did it.
Because it's our hands. We make it. It's not coming from natural things that who made?
God.
Nature, or maybe whoever made nature. Mm-hmm. It's us. We're making it. We're building it. And we're going to start from the lowest because it would be, again, relying on nature. And whoever made nature, no. It's our abilities, it's our capabilities, it's us. What's the East? What was in the East? You actually sing, anyone ever been to a Sheva Bracha?
Yes.
Right? What is one of the Sheva Brachas? Anyone know?
I don't know, but I'm assuming it's the wisdom. That's where the technology was.
Gan Eden? Was it? Anyone know what the blessing is? Gan Eden Mikedem. I am to bring us back to Gan Eden from the east. Where's the east? Gan Eden. They're running from Gan Eden. They're moving from away from the concept. They came from the East. They were leaving the East. That means they're going away from it. They're running away from the concept of going back to Gan Eden, and obviously the connection and depths of understanding or being close to Hashem. Right? And in essence, the whole building of it, the global village, is to do what? Unite, to go away and go as fast away from Hashem. The sharing of the information is now creates the ability that nothing is unattainable. Why? Because now we have the ability and the secrets to do
to undermine your creator.
To undermine everything that the world is created for. We have the secrets. We have the ability to do it. And therefore, the global village together now creates an entity of what? Technology for the sake of?
Independence.
Selfish.
Independence from God.
Wow.
The whole purpose of it is becoming now to be independent from God. Going deeper now, let's go on the understanding the depths of understanding now what happens when you do that. Now in the Tower of Babel, Rashi describes there that when a person would be slipping or falling or something would be happening to them. If he messed up the cycle of building this structure, you know what happened to him?
They were thrown.
Gone. F- fall off, die.
They throw them out? Like, yeah, off a cliff?
Basically, you know, if someone's slipping or falling or didn't do something right, he's falling off. Just
yeah, for the greater good.
For the greater good. He's messing up for the greater good. What happens for the individual of a person? He's now expendable for the benefit of the greater good. In essence, technology now transforms us into what?
Ants.
You know, basically it transforms you now into being expendable for the, quote, greater good. You are now no longer valuable. All just in the aspect of how much you contribute to
worker
efficiency, yeah. Behavior of contributing to overall goal of society and technology. You don't hear this today? You don't hear these concepts today? This is one of the main concepts of the world, right? And even more so, what's unbelievable is that you're seeing yourself as you're nothing now. In essence, look at the world. Where is it the greatest level of lack of self-appreciation and self-respect and self-esteem?
Instagram.
It's right. Instagram, but what I mean timing-wise, it's right now. Mm-hmm. Why? Can you ever think about that? Like, does that make any sense? Why is it all of a sudden our generation right now, has the lowest self-esteem ever?
Really?
So either you can believe that, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, oh, they just hit it and everyone also didn't have any self-esteem. And you hear these excuses. I'm telling you right now, that's not true. I even see it from when I grew up. It's not the case. I mean, not that in my generation it was so high, but I see, like, it's much lower now than ever was. Right? And in my generation, it wasn't high. And I'm telling you, in the 50s and the 40s, it was much higher than it was then. And I'm telling you, 30 years before that, it was much higher than it was then. Why? Why is it? Why is this pervading? Because... What's that?
Because you're saying technology is going higher.
Exactly.
The individual worth
of a person today is nothing. You're not worth anything. What?
We have machines that can do that.
Right, you're not worth anything today, except unless you are contributing to the growth of technology and society on the whole. And in essence, that completely diminishes the worth of a single person. Individual now is not worth anything.
That's why people are stupid.
But that's not so black or white.
So there's... There's also an unbelievable statement, and with this I want to kind of put it all together.
I want you to put it on pause. I want you to use the restroom when you go.
It's on tape.
Great.
So listen to what the Nitziv said in the 1900s. The Nitziv, he wrote this right as the technology was coming out in major style. He was around, I believe, from 1820 he was born, around that time till right before the turn of the century. So he was right at the time, right previous to the explosion of the technology, right to really the middle of it when it really started to explode. And it's an unbelievable statement that he's writing exactly on what we've been discussing. Watch what he says. And I'll translate it from the Hebrew since I didn't have a chance to do it in time. And we will make for ourselves a name. What does that mean? That people are going to be watching and being on top of the, I guess we'll call it just the technological part. And the ministers will be, of the army, will be careful and watching over, he's describing the scene there, of making sure that no one's going against that goal of building. And this part is a worry of wanting to not be spread all around. Why? Because we have to understand when people go to different places, they then become individuals. When you're spread about, when you're spread around and you're not necessarily in a collective unit, there's an ability of being able to sprout individualism.
Different cultures.
And therefore their knowledge and understanding of life is not the same. Meaning the same goal, it's not an ultimate balance of the same of the understanding of life. And they were worried that there would be differentiating opinions on life. They were worried that they were going to have, people would have different thoughts or different opinions and understanding of life. And therefore, they were making sure that people wouldn't go spread about and that they would have different concepts and different ideas. And therefore, they were stuck in trying to get into one concept and one idea. If you look around today, by the way, I think one of the most scary things in America is this concept that if you don't follow a certain, I guess,
norm
and believe in, like, that's not acceptable. Like, honestly, today, I'm going to say it out in the open. I probably shouldn't say it on tape. But if you say, like, you know, it's not acceptable to be a transvestite, it's just not. Or to have men and women bathrooms at the same place. You know what you're called? A bigot. You're called a person from the Stone Age. Mm-hmm. And you're no longer a part of society and you're discriminating against people. No. I have the right to an opinion to say that, yes, there should be a differentiation between a man and a woman. And there is a thing, creation is a man and a woman. And it shouldn't be a third thing that is ultimately created by some doctor in a laboratory.
Pathology.
Right? Again, does that mean we should kill these people? Does that mean that we should be discriminatory to these people? No, we should help these people. We should love these people. We should do everything we can. But if anyone, you know, today, especially in the world, stands up to say such a thing, what will they do?
You're shot down.
You're shot down. Who are you? You're discriminating. How can you do this? Huh?
People will discriminate the other opposite side of it too.
I agree. The other side, discrimination, as far as I agree with that. To say that we should do something negative towards those people.
What about being
that we shouldn't do anything negative towards the people? It's the same discrimination one on the other.
It's not
side.
About that.
What
you're
I'm saying is the ability to have a differentiation. I don't want to go off on this tangent because that's not my class. That's not the point at all. I just mentioned is the idea of. It has to follow a certain form, figure, structure, no matter what. Like a sheep. And if you're outside the sheep, it's like you're attacked and you're shot down. And we have to boycott you. We have to boycott you. And you're...
But that's everything now. This right now, that's what it is.
And you're evil.
In what everybody is going... So like celebrities do this too. They you'll never hear Kim Kardashian say... what her husband says, because her husband is completely like alienated and like people talk so much crap about him because he's a Trump supporter and he has a different idea than the majority of what celebrities do, which is they just go towards the masses. Oh, I support the masses.
So I don't want to go too off on tangent. That was my point is the idea is that the lack of ability to be an individual and have the expression of individual thought, of a meeting of minds, of being able to discuss concepts and ideas. There's no such meeting today anymore. Do you hear how scary that is? You cannot share real ideas anymore. Because you know what? If you share any of your ideas that don't fit into the cultural norms of today, you're automatically a bigot. You're automatically you're a despicable person. You're attacked. You're not. And I'm talking about a person that's sharing a real idea, not someone that's trying to attack or do something. Leave out all the other stuff. I'm just trying to say there's no forum for real thought and discussion anymore. It doesn't exist in our society. Because if you say a statement and you're just trying to share an idea, someone's going to get upset. Someone's going to get call you're going against this, or you're going against that value, or this, what they're saying over here. Why is that? It's all stemming from this original source. It's all stemming from the fact that it has to be centered in a certain way according to one value of building this value of called technology that we're going to go to the sky. It is the source of everything. And it is dominating and dominating society. Last point. Not only have we discussed now the reason why the destruction of a human being as far as their level of self-esteem, not only the destruction of the ability to be able to think in being an individual and to be able to think about deeper things and be able to have varying thoughts and being able to discuss it, that's destroyed. But lastly, is the ability for a person to have real communication. It's gone. Technology has created this aspect where we are so isolated now into just being involved in our technology that it's taken away the ability to communicate, which is obviously the last step that I just discussed, which is the ability to have a form of discussing ideas and thoughts. But the more basic part of it is just the level of communication with another human being. It's been completely taken away.
In some ways, it's helped. You know, you could just put like an article online and millions of people
right. read it. Right. So that is true. But look at what society is. Is the society more today? Is the average, let's say, 16-year-old mm-hmm. today versus... I'll throw out again, 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. What's the level of his attention span? What's the level of the ability to really think in a deep manner? How long will that person, that child, and or adult for that matter, be able to sit and really contemplate deeper ideas and be able to really discuss them in any type of meaningful way?
Form his own opinion.
Thank you very much. How much is society and technology really helping in communication and developing of real relationships? Or has it done the exact opposite and completely uprooted them and destroyed it? It is completely uprooted and destroyed. Do you know that today people can't even answer a phone, let alone have a conversation on the phone. People prefer, don't call me, just text me.
Yeah.
Right? Let's be honest. Me included. I'm in this, I don't know, I got influenced also. I don't want people to call me. I don't have enough time. I don't have time to talk to everyone. It's just impossible for my day because all the million things that are going on because technology also, I'm a part of this. I want people to text me. Texting is so much easier. 2 seconds, boom, boom, boom. I can do 10 people text all at the same time. But in reality, if that's all you do, the 10 people you text, are you really building a relationship? You really get to know the person? You understand their feelings, their thoughts, their aspirations in life? Or are you just saying, smile, you know, smiley face, monkey, you know, like whatever we do, the emojis that we're sending out.
Why do you think technology took that turn?
So going back here, getting back to the first port in the Zohar and the Gemara that says it's either going to happen in one way or the other way. Technology, the tool of technology, incredibly powerful. Because if you think about it, what it can do, it can bring about the knowledge and wonder of how complex and amazing this world is.
Also, instant incredible. Gratification.
What?
Instant gratification.
Yes. Right. I didn't even get into that. That's a whole other topic in discussion, which we've touched upon different times. But the idea, and that's 100% true. But think about it. On the positive, what it could have done, mm-hmm. it could have created an amazing world of saying like, wow, and really a reaction, and the Torah reaction, and I'll finish with this. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the goal of technology in essence is to bring, this is really, I'm expanding on this, but is to bring the Pamalia, which is the heavenly spiritual world, and the lower world together to meet. It should be there to meet. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that the aspect of shalom, peace, is to bring the spiritual level of the world combined with the lower level of the world. And that's what it's supposed to do. And that's only going to happen in the end of days. So really what it's supposed to be doing, and in essence with technology and the revealment of all the natural order of secrets of the world, is to say, wow, it screams out to you, it's a creator. There's a screaming out. Look how incredibly massive, unbelievable this world really is. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. The wonder of a human body. How a baby comes into this world is still insane. It's an incredible thing that has happened that just also boggles the mind how, you know, an egg and a seed from just from that formation and all the complexity within it, the aspect of the world and how complex the entire universe is. You look at it and you say, it all screams out, there's a creator. Hmm. It all screams out, there's a creator. That wisdom is screaming to you, this all is made, and screams out, I'm here. I made this world. It's all here for you. It's all here to be beneficial part of your life and experience to create a connection and a relationship with me. Right? So, in the end, which we look like, I don't want to be bearer of bad news, but it looks like we're going the opposite way, right? The goal and the purpose for us, a goal and purpose for us at least, is to be able to utilize the creation for what it's really supposed to be used for. Excuse me, the technology for what it was really supposed to be used for. For us to be able to use it for real connection,
yeah.
Real relationship, and real wonder of saying, wow, Hashem created this magical world. Hashem be able to create unbelievable things that came out from here. The ability to say even, I mean, I'll give you the example that Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg said. He said, every time that you take a pill that's like, you know, your stomach is hurting and you take a Pepcid AC and it works and you say, wow, unbelievable. Think about this little red pill. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were 40, 50 years ago without this red pill, I'd be in bed with pain and suffering until it went away 36 hours later. Now I take this little red pill and within an hour, I'm good. I'm good as new. Yeah. Wow, thank God. This little pill, all the technology that created, thank God you were able to give us the ability and the wonder that was able to make me feel better and feel great.
But to that point, and to the point that you said earlier about self-worth, mm-hmm. Back in the day, the 1950s or even previous, that pill used to be herbs or an herbal mm-hmm. remedy that we've probably since
forgotten
out of our heads.
Yeah, yeah.
It took more effort and it took, you know, finding that herb. True. Acquiring that herb,
green.
And brewing.
So no, but think about it. Now we have the ability to do this in mass. Instead, how long would it have taken for me to take that herb and brew the herb and do that? You say, wow, what an amazing thing. This ability of what it's able to do.
But that's the point. The point is, a person had self-worth back in the day in 1950s.
Because they were able to do that.
Well, any given person had skills to fabricate something, to create something, whether they were working with wood or metal or all of those.
So let me finish on, I know you're going with this, but let me finish on a different point, because I don't think, I understand what that is true, but I think the self-worth of creation and when I reconnect all of technology and life back to the source, to the creator. I, in essence, here listen to this concept that the Kabbalah brings down. It's called Bitul Leyesh. I am canceling out myself for, not for technology, but for being a part of the greater experience, what's called infinite. Because once I say I'm in this world to cancel my, what am I canceling out? Am I canceling out myself? Or am I canceling out my negative desires? Mm-hmm. And in essence, when I cancel out my negative desires, I'm therefore connecting to a greater purpose. Once I am here for a greater purpose, because I need to be a part of it, meaning I am the individual, I'm a part of the greater purpose of called creation, connecting to Hashem, I now have self-worth. Because I'm living for something greater. I'm doing something tremendous. I'm in this world to use the tools of this world to connect it back to the Creator and connect me to the Creator. Wow, that I'm fulfilling what life is all about. That gives me a level of self-worth that's beyond. There's no greater self-worth than that. A person that is confident in what he's doing from the morning, what I'm in this world for, when I get up in the morning, I know what I'm here for. Okay, it's difficult, it's challenging, it's hard. There's different challenges all throughout life, and it's not meant to be easy, but at least I have a purpose and a role of what I'm here for. You have the greatest self-confidence in the world. I know what my role is. I know what my purpose is. I'm here to create and reconnect every aspect of life to the Creator. And at that point, I am able to really understand what technology is here for. And in essence, once the entire world